room this morning who has no infirmity. Not one. Last night, Brother Glenn Lively had our junior high graduation. And Brother Glenn, as the young folks came across the platform, I just counted the infirmities. Junior high. They don't have any burdens, do they? They have no problems, do they? Heartaches? Infirmities? Why, that's for old people. Old people get sick and die. And I just, as they walked across the platform, I know so much about most of these kids. Let me give you a few examples. A boy on crutches. Always be on crutches. Paralyzed. I guess mostly, if not all the way, his waist down. Came across the platform. Infirmity. Junior high boy. Graduated last night. High school next year. There came a boy across who did not walk quite as the coordination of others. And who is he? A boy whose mom and dad had come to our church for years. And the boy got sick and lay in a coma. I guess what, for months? Months in a coma. Trying to get back now to normal. And another boy came across. And I remember the day when I took that little boy from the arms of his mother. She gave him away and placed him in the arms of another. Last night, junior high, not rest home, not senior citizens, not the old folks, not middle-aged folks, junior high, infirmities. There came across a boy, a sort of cripple, who Mrs. Healy has literally loved back to life through the years. I counted no less than of what, 85 graduates? 86 junior high graduates. I counted no less than 13 of them. And there's some I did not know about. 13 of them that had serious infirmities. A heartache. Junior high. Go to the nursery this morning and see the club-footed babies. Go to the Sunday school departments and see last Sunday morning, after the service, long line of folks outside my doors always. A junior boy stood in line by himself. And he came to inside the office when his time came. I guess he stood in line 45 minutes and came in and said, "Preacher, you know me. I'm the boy that has Hodgkin's disease, cancer." He said, "Would you anoint me with oil and pray for me that God will heal me?" Juniors. Go to the Sunbeam department and see. Yes, you go slow. Look at the Pathfinders over here, these good friends of mine who are teenagers and adults who are educable slow. Go to the deaf department and see the infirmity of those who cannot hear. Go back and talk to the blind and see the infirmity of those who cannot see. Go to the Vietnamese department today and see the boat people. I mean the boat people that escaped the tyranny and communism of Vietnam. And got on boats and literally walked across dead bodies and slept on dead bodies for days and nights. And they're here this morning. Reuben, come here. I want you to see one of the most amazing young men in this church. Reuben Newcomer. What was your name before, Reuben? Newcomer now. What was your last name in Vietnam? What? Vo Ting Phung. I like newcomer better. And Reuben, stand right there, would you please? Reuben, and by the way, every time I hear anybody say anything good about communism, I want them to see somebody like this. They came after Reuben, after his mom and dad, and they shot and killed his mom and dad. And while they were shooting, they shot him in the leg. He developed polio. And those little legs will never walk like yours and mine. This junior high graduate last night. By the way, you ought to feel that. Anything you want, Reuben, you can have it, son. But I mean, Reuben, have a seat right here. I don't let many folks sit where I sit, but you're welcome to sit in my chair this morning. I'm saying that here's a young man, life in front of him. He knows what communism's all about. He knows what the pinkies do. I'm saying that here he is. He'll never make the basketball team. Boy, they're drooling at the high school wrestling team, though, I'll tell you for sure. Because he's made such a, has made such a tremendous upper torso, you know. And that's preaching, ain't it? I'm saying that this is it. I mean, when he walks the aisle and gets married, if he does, though nobody would want a face like that, but if he does, he'll walk in on those crutches and all his life. I'm saying everybody in this room has an infirmity. Paul had one. He had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. Some folks think it was epilepsy. I had seizures while he preached. Some think he had serious headaches that gripped him while he preached and threw him on the floor. Some folks think he had eye trouble. And he did have eye trouble. But some folks think his infirmity was that eye trouble. Some folks think he had high fever. And while he'd preach, the fever would come on him. And it caused his mind to be affected. And some folks think other things. But I'll say this. Everybody in this room this morning has an infirmity. Everybody. Everybody. I mean, it may be a broken home. It may be a broken heart. It may be a diseased body. It may be a crippled leg. But everybody in this room this morning has some kind of infirmity, and your success, joy, and life will not be dependent upon whether or not you have an infirmity, because you have one. But your success or joy in life will be dependent upon how you accept your infirmity. Now, what is yours? Don't tell me, but think about it right now. What is that thing in your life that is your infirmity? What is it? Is it a disease? Are you crippled? Is it your mother-in-law lives with you at the house? What is your infirmity? I don't know what it is. I'll buy you one thing. There is an infirmity or a heartache. I'm not talking now about the senior citizens alone. I'm not talking about the rest home crowd. I'm talking about the junior high boys. I'm talking about the teenager. I'm talking about those young people walked across the platform last night at our Hammond Junior High, Baptist Junior High, Christmas, or night before last at Hammond Baptist High School, or yesterday morning at City Baptist, or those several hundred who walk across the platforms next Friday night to get degrees from Howells Anderson College. I'm talking about juniors. I'm talking about a junior boy that has Hodgkin's disease. I'm talking about a junior high boy who saw his parents shot, murdered! Came across on our boat with the boat people. And he himself was shot. And then came, had polio. And now is paralyzed. And came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond in a country he thought he'd never see. He'd only heard about the United States and heard about our wealth and prosperity. And he came here, and somebody came from First Baptist Church in Hammond and told him the wonderful story of Christ and salvation. He came to First Baptist, received Christ as his Savior, on his way to heaven, where he'd have two good legs someday. But he has an infirmity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, think about yours. Whatever it is, think about it. There are five things you can do about it. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to use Reuben now. Follow through. First, you can have doubt. And that's what Paul had first, doubt. When that infirmity first comes, when your mom and dad are first shot, or you wake up in the hospital and find your leg has been amputated, or you find your leg
is paralyzed, and you've got to walk on crutches the rest of your life, you can doubt. You can say, I don't understand it. And all of us go through that period of doubt. Now, everybody has it, but the truth is, everybody has to stay in it. I don't understand this. I've tried to serve God. How could this happen to me?
Now, my infirmity can't compare to this. But since I'm a preacher, it's a pretty important one to me. 25 years ago, I began to have a throat problem. And I didn't know what it was. And I said, Lord, I'm a preacher. You can't do this to me. I talk about you. My job is preaching. And I preach the Bible. You can't do this to me. I don't understand it. I'm a preacher. It's like a postman having a wooden leg. I can't understand it, Lord. I'm preaching your name. You don't want my voice, my throat to be cleared between every sentence when I'm talking about Jesus or telling somebody how to be saved. I don't understand it. And all of us have that. But I want to say this morning, don't you linger very long in that little era of doubt about your infirmity. It'll hound you to death. Reuben, if you wanted to this morning, you could say, I don't understand this. I was the only student last night and had to walk up here on crutches. I understand this. God's not good to me. By the way, a lot of folks, Reuben, would have done that. And thank God you haven't. But I'm saying this, you could have said, I'm a teenage boy. The others can play basketball, I can't. Others can be on the football team, I can't. Others can run track, I can't. I understand that. I'm as good as they are. But I want to tell you something, folks, that'll lead you to a miserable life. Now, there's another era through which we've all been. And that is that era of praying and hoping. Paul had it. Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh. And when he said, I know what? God's going to heal me. He came to God and said, Dear God, I pray you to heal this thorn in my flesh. Lord, cure this fever that seizes me while I preach, and cure this epilepsy and these seizures that hound me while I preach. And Lord, cure these serious headaches that throw me on the floor and cause my sermon to be interrupted. Lord, heal me. Paul went to God and said, and God said, no, I won't do it. And Paul went back again and said, Dear God, heal me. You know what I'm talking about. Those days when you said, I believe God's going to heal me. They come to my office and say, Brother House, I believe I got the victory. I believe God's going to heal me. I believe He is. And that's a wonderful era to be in. But Paul came and realized that God was not going to heal him. I remember when I first, my own little infirmity, and mine's not one I have any complaint about it at all. But I remember when I first saw the first teenager make fun of me when I cleared my throat. The first time I had a preacher to try to copy my preaching. I remember how I used to feel when pastor school would come up. And I said, Lord, I got a whole nation coming here, all over America, pastor school. Lord, help me. Lord, don't let me embarrass myself in front of the whole nation. But I thought, now God's going to take care of that. And I've gotten that little bottle of oil that I've used for years to pray over, to anoint, which I anoint people and pray for them. And I've taken that oil and I put it right here on my esophagus. And I've said, God, I pray you to heal me. And I thought He would. I recall one day a person came and had the same trouble I've got. And I prayed with him. Within a week, he was healed. Within a week. And I said, I don't understand that. And then there comes to the third era. Now follow me carefully. And you've been through this, Reuben. And by the way, you've been through it, and 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 everybody in this house has been through it. First, doubt.
I don't understand it. It's not right. Second, faith, believing God's going to take care of it and remove it. Third, accepting it. Paul said, Lord, heal my infirmity. Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord didn't do it. Lord, He said, I pray a second time, take it away. And God didn't do it. Lord, I pray the third time, take it away. And God didn't do it. But God did say this. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient.
Now listen to me. We come to the time of acceptance. When you accept it, it's my infirmity. I've got to live with it. And I accept it. This is of God. Now, in that era, what you do is you say, you look at other things in life and see how many other things you've got that are so good. Reuben, you stop and say, some folks are blind over here. I cannot walk, but I'm not blind. Some folks are deaf. I cannot hear. I cannot walk, but I can hear. Some folks do not have the proper mental facilities, like fellows on the platform here. But some behind the platform over here. But I have a good mind. Well, not very good, but pretty good. And I have a good mind. See, that's the era where you accept it. You say, okay, Lord, I accept it. Everybody has a problem. Everybody has a burden. So I accept it. This is of God, we say. I have so many blessings, we say. Most of my life is good, we say. Many have it worse, we say. Told you this, but I was coming to Atlanta, Georgia, preaching. Atlanta, I was to the airport on a Tuesday night to fly back during the night. The young preacher asked me, he said, Dr. Howell, said, how long have you had this problem with your throat? And I said, about 25 years. It's about a year ago. He said, does it ever make you depressed? I looked at him and I said, young man, I'm an American. My name is written in heaven. I'm God's child. If I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. Jesus is going to come for me. And at this very minute, young man, God is preparing in heaven a home for me. And I said, I have the Holy Spirit living in my body. I've got a healthy family. I've got three daughters married to preachers and one son who's a pastor of a church. I said, I pastor a New Testament church. I'm a child of God. Heaven's my home. God's my Father. Holy Spirit is my comforter. Jesus is my Savior. The Bible's my book. The rapture's my hope. I said, young man, if you think I'm going to let one little something down here about the size of black-eyed pea wreck my life, I said, you're mistaken. And that's the next era that we ought to come to. First is that doubt. How can it be me? And then, how can it be me? God, I'm trying to serve you. I love you. How could you do this to me? And then you come to that era where you say, Lord, I believe you're going to heal me. I believe I'm going to have the victory. I believe you're going to do it. And then you come to that era where you accept it and realize this is of God, and this is God's plan for your life. And then you start working on other areas. Reuben, stand up here. I won't show you that leg, but there ain't much there. That leg is none bigger, all the way up, I guess, than my wrist, is it? So what's Reuben done? Reuben said, I'll make me a strong upper body. And boy, this guy is put together. Anybody doesn't like my preaching, just see him after the service. He's put together. You know, God needed somebody. Who knows? Did God allow this young lad to see his parents die and have his own leg shot so I could use him across the world in a sermon this morning and tell you, you don't have it so bad after all? Reckon that's it? Reckon God allowed this? Would God let something like this happen for one preacher to have an illustration in one sermon? Well, of course He would, so that 5,000 or 6,000 people could say, I accept my infirmity. That young man can accept his growing up. His mom and dad weren't here last night. They didn't go with him to the reception last night. He has some adopted parents who love him, and they were here, you better know. But he didn't run and play on the basketball team this year. But he's accepted it. Accepted it. He could hide. Thank you, Reuben. He could hide. Now, there's a fourth era. When, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking to you this morning. I want to help you. Listen, I want every eye here. You had it. Look, you're thinking right now about your infirmity. That thing that first you got and you said, I don't understand it. It's not, hey. Let me tell you, I've never told this to anybody in the world. And I probably shouldn't say it. But when the word first came, that Linda and Johnny's little baby had a club foot. And I got my first little look at that little foot. That other one foot like this and the other turned in just completely like that.
I said, whatever Granddad would say, and you, what you would say. I said, I understand that. And I'm a preacher. And Linda's a fine, sweet Christian young lady, and Johnny's a preacher too. I understand that. And then one day it dawned on me. I probably shouldn't say this. But I saw Irma McKinney walk down the hallway. And God said, that was her trouble, I understand. Something like that. I never think Irma McKinney being crippled. Mentally retarded, but not crippled. And the Lord said, would you be satisfied if Melissa were an Irma McKinney? And I said, you better know it. You better know it. I would. And the Lord said, I make Irma McKinney's out of Melissa's. And I said, then you can have her. That's the next era. When you accept it. Now this morning, I know you got it. What is it? I understand what it is. Know what it is. Whatever you have it. Is your little baby, as I saw one other day in the nursery with a club foot today? Huh? Or is yours, that little baby, has a hole in his heart? Going to have heart, open heart surgery by the time he's a year old? Or is it your boy that has Hodgkin's disease as a junior lad and you're trying to serve God? Okay. I understand it. All of us have infirmities. We all have adversities. We all have problems. We all have heartaches. And every one of us went through the same thing. I don't understand it. It just doesn't seem right. But thank God we didn't stay there long. We came to the next place where we said, I believe God's going to take care of it. And then one day, for many of us, God did take care of it. But for most of us, God said, I want you to. It's a part of you. You know, Reuben, you know why you're crippled? Because God needed a crippled teenager. I can't tell you exactly why God needed a crippled teenager, but God did. And do you know why I clear my throat? Because God needed a throat-clearing preacher. And you know why some of you, high school boys, are 4 feet six, and it looks like when you grow up, you won't be over 5 feet tall, and you look at everybody's kneecaps, and you walk down the hall. You know why? Because God needed a little boy. A little man. God needed it. And so we come to that place. We learn to accept it. Now I'm going to get into graduate work now. I'm going to go to the hard part now. Number one, doubt. Number two, pray and hope. Number three, accept it. Number four, thank God for it. That's a tough one. I bet you never have sat down and said, Dear Lord, thank you for the food and for these little bit of legs I got. You don't say that. Paul said, I glory. Listen to this. Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I will rather glory in my infirmity. I will glory. What Paul say? Paul said, I'll come to God and say, God, I glorify you. I thank you that you've given me these infirmities. Lord, thank you for that little club foot. Lord, thank you for that esophagus problem. Lord, thank you for that wilted leg. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you call growing in grace. As you look at your infirmity and you have them, first you say, I don't understand it. There's doubt. And then you say, Lord, I believe you're going to heal me. And then the next era is, Lord, I accept it. It's my lot in life and I accept it. But then you come to the place where the big boys play. And that is when you say, Lord, I thank you for it. You know why? Listen carefully. Hear me now. You pray, and you pray, and you pray. And you pray, and you pray, and pray. And the Lord, He doesn't do it. He doesn't take it. He doesn't remove it. That thorn of the flesh, the eye trouble, the ophthalmia, the seizures, the epilepsy, the fever, the headaches, the paralyzed legs, the esophagus problem, the God doesn't take it. And then finally, you pray and 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 you pray.
And you know what? You pray so much that you get to know God real well. And the fellowship is so sweet until you stop and realize that this thorn, this infirmity, has brought you closer to God, and hell has held you together and brought you and God together. And then you say, Lord, I wouldn't have known you like this without this infirmity. I wouldn't have prayed like I do without this infirmity. I wouldn't have known your presence. Listen, the folks who've never walked in a hospital corridor, listen to me. Folks who've never walked in a hospital corridor and heard the heavy breathing of a mother or a dad, or a child, or a baby, have never known God in a way that folks who have known Him. And I want to tell you something, folks. The most fortunate people in this room this morning are those who have... Hear me. Don't miss it. The most fortunate people in this room this morning are those who have infirmities that have not been healed. Have not.
Boy, you say, bless God. I'm a lucky person. God, heal me of my infirmity. Yes, sir. That's good. That's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, the people less interested, the people that are the least interested in this sermon right now and who can't wait to get out are the people that have no infirmities. That's the crowd. They're not enjoying the service. Let's get out of here. Man, let's get the... Hey, it's almost 12 o'clock. Let's get this thing on. Let's get this show off the road. That's the crowd.
Have no infirmities. But I want to tell you tonight, this morning, that those people that have seen the dark shadows and have faced the wall and saw no way through, and faced the tunnel and saw no light, I serve notice on you this morning. Those folks are sitting on the edge of their seats this morning. And let me tell you, there's an era of doubt growing a little bit, and that's the era of believing God's going to heal it, take it away. And as in the case of Paul, God doesn't do it. And you grow a little bit and you say, I'll accept it. It's my lot in life. It's what God wants me to have. And I want to have what God wants me to have. And then you grow a little bit more and you say, thank you, Jesus, for it. You look at that little club foot and you say, Jesus, thank you for that little club foot. You've heard me tell this time and time again, but I was down in New London, Texas, preaching revival years ago. I was sitting in the living room before the first service on Monday night. The pastor's name was Travis Gibson. And as he was...
You can relate to this, remember.
As he was... As we were talking, I heard this. And I said, Pastor, what's that noise? He said, it's my son. Yes, polio. He said, come here, Brother Hyatt. He took me straight into a hallway, and as you left the living room and walked in the hallway went like this. You walked toward, from the living room toward the hall, and the hallway formed a T on the living room, and right in, if you kept on going, is a closet door. He opened that closet door, and there were two of those. And I said, what's that? He said, it's my prayer closet. And I said, you're what? He said, you heard that little thud. That's my baby boy, youngest boy. He said, years ago, I wasn't living for God. And he said, God put my boy in the hospital with polio. One of his little legs is paralyzed for life. He said, Dr. Hiles, or Brother Hiles, every time I pray, I come to this closet. And he said, those little crutches, or braces. He said, that's my prayer closet. He said, Brother Howes, you better understand this. But he said, I thank God for my crippled boy. I thank God he's crippled. And I said, what do you mean? He said, if my boy hadn't been crippled, he'd never had a Christian dad. If my boy hadn't been crippled, he'd never had a dad who was a preacher
And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'd 10,000 times rather be crippled and have a dad that loves God and walks with God than be well and strong and have a heathen breaking, heathen pagan dad.
So, Reuben, you thank God for these. You thank God for it. Now I come to the last. We've come to eras. Every one of you been through all of this, unless you haven't gotten this high yet.
But that first time, Lord, it's here. I realize it. My boy had an act. You saw that little boy in the choir, the weak little snow boy. By the way, the snows had another one. That's 11.
She had that baby at 2 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, and came to commencement Friday night.
I said, Brother, bless God, Denver's not the only place having a heap of snow. And we got 11 big snowflakes in one family. And Brother Bill Pennell said, our speaker, he said, looks like a blizzard to me.
The little boy was injured. He's the one that wears that helmet like he's about to play football all the time.
Remember the first time that happened? First time it happened to you, and you said, I don't understand it. There was doubt.
And then you entered in that era where you said, I believe God's going to heal me. I believe He's going to take it away. Then there was the era where you realized this was God's lot for you in life. God planned it this way. And then one day you learned to accept it. And then you entered that era, or you can, where you thank God for it. And then I come to the last thing that Paul said, and I can't comprehend this. Paul said, I take pleasure in it. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. I take pleasure in my infirmities.
Paul said, I'm glad I have it. It's what God wanted me to have. Romans 8:28 says, it's best for me. I love God. I'm in the will of God. It's best for me.
Where are you this morning? Are you in the doubting state? I don't understand this. I try to
serve. I don't understand it.
You can be like that and wreck your whole life. Or you can spend your whole life thinking God's going to heal you, not accepting the fact that this is God's plan for your life. Before you know it, you'll wreck your whole life. Or you can come to the place in your life where God has let you know, this is for you. It's my will. It's my plan. It's my pattern for you. And you can accept it and say, dear God, I accept it. You needed somebody like me. Or you can go a step higher than that, and you can bow on your knees in your prayer closet and say, dear God, thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you for it. Or you could go all the way to the doctor's degree and you could take pleasure in it. Reuben?
You ever wonder why you didn't have strong legs?
Reuben, you can say this morning, thank God for those crutches. Junior hires gave them to him last night. His old ones were sort of needed a retread, and they gave him new wheels last night. Reuben, my little old affliction is not much compared to yours. My mama is still alive. I never saw my mom and dad shot, and I never was shot with a communist. And my legs this morning are strong for 56. Got a lot of mileage on them. Been trying to run the speedometer back, but doesn't help any. But Reuben, I want to say this morning, I'm willing to accept the little problem I got. You willing to accept yours? Are you? Reuben, I'm going to go a step further this morning. I'm going to thank God for my problem. You willing to thank God for yours? I'm going to go a step further, Reuben. I'm going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to rejoice I got it. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'd hate to be a fellow that never clear his throat. It's fun to clear your throat. Man, it's fun. What a relief. If I just thought back, knows nothing about this. I spell relief. THROATCLEARING. And I'm going to enjoy it. Ruben, you're going to spend your life enjoying your problem. What you going to do with yours? Huh? what you going to do with yours? You can doubt. You can pray and hope. You can accept. You can thank God. And then you could take pleasure in it.